Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, and our hearts do worship you this morning. We praise you from the very depths of our being, because you are God, because you are the Almighty God. And we praise you, Father, because you are my God, and you're my Savior, my provider, and my protector. And I thank you so much for that, and I praise you for it, Father. I ask that you would be with us today and just put your anointing upon me and upon your word. Give us the words you would have us to hear. And Father, help us to be very heedful to your word. Help us to realize that this isn't the words of some man, but this is the words that you've laid upon my heart for us here today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about striving for excellence. And I don't think we really understand how much the Bible has to say about excellence. And hopefully as we go through this message today, you're going to see that God not only is an excellent God, but he expects and requires excellence out of us. Every one of us. He expects us to be excellent. And I use the word striving. Another word we could use there instead of striving is pursuing. You know, striving sometimes sounds like hard work. And if you're going to be a person of excellence, you definitely are going to have to work hard. But you're going to have to pursue it more than you are work hard. And I shared with you after Brother Cliff came. And for those of you that weren't here, Brother Cliff came and did a church growth conference for us. And one of the things, in fact, probably the main point that I got out of that whole conference is that we need to be a church of excellence. We need to be a church of excellence. That means we have to be people of excellence. And like I said, we're going to go through here and we're going to see that God expects us and requires us to be people of excellence. Now, I'm going to start with kind of a strange verse, because this verse that I'm going to be starting with says nothing about excellence, but I'm using this to show you that we need to step away from the crowd. I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, if you go to the same account of these scriptures in Luke says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, the reason I'm using these scriptures to start off with, I think we already know, just like the scripture says here, there are very few people that enter in through the straight and narrow gate. Very few people that ever receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we as Christians, and those of us that have gone to church for years, we understand that the majority of the people are outside of the church and they are outside of Christendom. But folks, when we look inside the church, we also see that even fewer that are Christians are really striving for excellence in their Christian walk. So you go from the world down to a few Christians, and out of those few Christians, you have a very few, a small percentage of people that really strive for excellence in their Christian walk. What I want to do today is to encourage you to step out away from the crowd and to choose excellence. The same way that God is no respecter of persons in the plan of salvation. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may call upon him and may be saved. It's the same thing with excellence. Whosoever will may be filled with the Spirit and may be led by the Spirit and may live a life of excellence. But we have to choose to do that. As I was preparing for this message, I got to thinking about the Holy Spirit's role in us living lives of excellence. And I got to thinking, you know, if we're really filled with the Spirit, and if we're truly being led by the Spirit, we can't do anything else but live a life of excellence. The Holy Spirit doesn't know anything but excellence. God never did anything that was not excellent. Even those of us he created all of us, he says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Well, you may look in the mirror and say, this ain't nothing. Folks, this is something. You are a masterpiece, a creation of God. God knows nothing less than excellence. Amen. And being spirit-filled is a definite key to living a life of excellence. Even Jesus, if he was not spirit-filled and spirit-led, would have never led the life of excellence that he did. And I know I preached before on being spirit-filled and being spirit-led, but don't discount those. Those are very important key elements in this. Now, we need to understand this morning that we have a choice in this. In fact, we have ultimate choice in this. The Bible clearly teaches that we choose whether to walk in God's blessings or not. The Bible teaches us that we choose whether to be filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit or not. The Bible also teaches us that we choose to live a life of excellency or not. We have that choice. Guess what? It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter where you were born. Give me a break. I was born in Figure 5, Arkansas, with modest parents. And yet God said, Greg, you can live a life of excellence. Doesn't matter your background. We have to remember that God is the one that has called us and chosen us to live a life of excellence. And he wants us to step up and do what he's called us to do. We can choose slothfulness, or we can choose to be excellent. It's completely, totally up to us. Let me give you an example. We get to choose our ambition level. Now, I know some of you don't like that because that means you're going to have to take personal responsibility for your ambition or lack of ambition. But we do choose our ambition level. You can choose if you want to be lazy. Why are we ever... I've heard people brag about the term, I'm a couch potato. I haven't heard anybody here brag about that, thank goodness. But why would you ever brag about being inherently lazy? I don't get that. Why would anybody even choose to be lazy? I don't get that. The Bible tells us that if we are lazy, that it leads to poverty. In other words, it leads to lack and to want. And folks, that's true in the spiritual realm as well. If we're lazy in the physical realm, we're going to be lazy in the spiritual realm as well. You don't have to tell me if you're lazy spiritually. All I have to look at you in the physical realm, and I can tell you if you're lazy spiritually or not. Because if you're lazy in one area, you're going to be lazy in another. And laziness causes us to have a very low self-esteem. I have never seen a lazy person that felt good about themselves. But we get to choose that. We also get to choose in our ambition level if we want to be mediocre. Now, listen to me real close here, because I think this is where most Christians are. Most of us say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. Why would you want to judge yourself of being better than somebody that's not giving their very best? They're not living up to their full potential, yet you say, well, I'm better than them. That means you're just a little bit better than them. And so you're kind of bragging, but folks, that means you've still got a long ways to go. And if you're right in the middle, guess what what God calls that? Lukewarm. I'm not cold, I'm warm. I'm not quite hot, but I'm warm. Well, the Bible says that God gets sick. In fact, it says he vomits lukewarm people. God doesn't want us to be mediocre. Neither one of those ambition levels are going to be very productive or fulfilling or rewarding. But you can choose to go to the next level and choose to be excellent. And you can live a very productive, fulfilling, rewarding life. Over in Colossians chapter 3. Paul wrote these words. He says, and whatsoever you do. Now, I want to stop right there. That whatsoever you do, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Every little thing you do or every big thing you do, do it heartily or do it with excellence as to the Lord and not as unto men. Do it heartily. Do it with excellence. And if you notice there it says, whatever you do. Folks, there is a seed of greatness in every single one of us. I've already told you that God said we were fearfully and wonderfully and marvelously made. God created every one of us to do things that nobody else can do. We have that seed of greatness within us, but we have to cultivate that seed. And we have to care for that seed for it to become what God created it to become. And we can be something spectacular if we will just let that seed of greatness grow on the inside of us. And again, when I say spectacular, of course, we understand that spectacular only through God's grace and His mercy. Yeah. Not on our own. He's the one that put the seed in there. But we are the ones that have to cultivate it, and we need to pursue excellence in every area of our life. I want to share a story with you, and I hadn't thought about this in years. But if you've ever gone to a buffet restaurant, the waiter or the waitress has a very easy job there, don't they? All they have to do is make sure they get their drinks to you. And that's about it. Well, I haven't been to this restaurant in 30 years. In fact, I don't even think it's still there. But when Diane and I were dating, there was a restaurant in Fort Smith called King's Buffet, just up north of the mall. Remember it? There was a waitress there by the name of Kim. You say you still remember her name? Absolutely, I still remember her name. Folks, she made everybody in the place feel special and important and well taken care of. She was a waitress in a buffet restaurant. But yet she was so good at her job that everybody, I mean, when you were sitting there, you could hear every table telling, Kim, you're the best waitress I've ever seen. And she was. She did it with excellence. She made everybody there feel special and feel important, and she made sure that you were well taken care of, even in a buffet restaurant. If you wanted dessert, she said, what kind do you want? I'll go get it for you. That's doing it with excellence. You know, most waitresses say, well, if you really got to have it, it's over that way. You know, they don't do it with excellence, do they? And God's word says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it with excellence as unto the Lord. If you are a waiter or a waitress, and I don't know that we have any here, but if you are, you need to serve those people just like you were serving Jesus Christ Himself. Because it says, as unto the Lord. At your job, you need to work just like you were working for Jesus Christ Himself. Because actually you are. I don't care who signs your paycheck. You're actually a servant working for Jesus Christ on a ministry at your job for Him. That's why it's so important that we do it as unto the Lord. Now I want you to listen to me closely. And I've kind of already alluded to this, but excellence or a lack of excellence bleeds over from one area of our life to another. There's going to be a few, very few, but there's going to be a few exceptions to what I'm getting ready to tell you. But I can go into a young person's room and I can tell you how well they're doing in school. I remember when Amy was at home growing up, I could go into her room and I could tell you exactly what kind of grade she was making in school. If her room was in order and picked up and neat, I knew she was doing well in school. If it was a mess, I knew that her schoolwork was a mess as well. Now, for the adults that are feeling pretty good about that, because you're saying, yeah, that's just like my kids. Well, adults, I can go into your house, too. And I can pretty well tell you how you're doing on your job. If you are excellent in the things you do at home, you're going to be excellent at work. It bleeds over. You cannot, well, I'm not going to say you cannot, because like I said, there's always that extreme exception. But the vast majority of people do not separate the two. If you're excellent in one area of your life, you're excellent in another area, and I truly believe that's why God said, whatever you do, even if it's the smallest little thing, do it heartily, do it with excellence, as unto the Lord. You know, going back to the school, I remember when I was in school, I kind of had a motto that just good enough to get the passing grade was just good enough. Well, I'm thankful to God that finally I got over that. I didn't get over that until I got out of high school, until I wasted 5.5 years of college, and in my last 3.5 years, I finally realized that excellent people don't live that way. And I went from just barely doing enough, just good enough to get by, to really applying myself. And it wasn't that I got any smarter, it was just I finally came to a realization that God had given me the ability to do better, and I started applying myself, and my grades went from C's and D's to A's and B's. I'm still the same Greg. I just realized that I needed to be the Greg of excellence and be paying attention to what I was doing and putting myself into it. And in your job, you need to be treating every single day like it's the day before vacation. I want you to stop and think with me. If you know you're going on vacation, if it's a Friday and you know you're going to be going on vacation on Saturday, don't you work extra hard at the job to make sure you've got every single thing done so you can go on vacation? In fact, it's a proven fact. They have done studies in the workplace, and people do 2 to 3 times more on the day before vacation than they do on a regular, typical day. We as people of excellence, we need to act like every single day is the day just before vacation, and we need to work heartily as unto the Lord and do it with excellence. And here at the church, we all have a ministry. We all have a ministry. Whatever you do here at Center Point, do it with excellence. If you come in and you greet our guests for the day, do it with excellence. Let them know you're glad to see them there. If you teach a class, teach that class to the very best of your ability. Make sure that you have put in the proper time and study and preparation, and that you prayed for your students, and that you have come in and you're going to teach with excellence to the very best of your ability. And let me throw this in. And God just now gave this to me, and I really think this is where we kind of get hung up sometimes. We see somebody that's better at something than we are. God never told you to compare yourself to somebody else. There's a whole lot better preachers out there than I am. But God doesn't compare me to them. He wants me to be the very best that I can be, excellent in what He has given me. But God's called you to be the very best teacher you can be, and there's some ways that you can outdo that other teacher. They may be very good at presenting the lesson, but how well do they love their students? How well do they relate to their students? There's a lot more to being a teacher than just getting up there and presenting information. We're there to teach. And again, we need to do it with excellence. We need to even strive to have an excellent attitude. If you remember in the study of Daniel, it says that an excellent attitude was found in Daniel. We need to have an excellent attitude. We need to have such an attitude that people say, wow, you know, there's something different about them. Doesn't matter what's going on around us, we need to have an excellent attitude. We need to pursue excellent friends. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a second. I made this conscious decision years ago. Fortunately, God led me to do this in high school. But you won't see me hanging around people that are not excellent people. Now, when I say you won't see me hanging around them, I may associate with them. I may have to be around them. But if I'm going to go to somebody's house and spend a lot of time, or they're going to come to my house, or we're going to do stuff, they're going to be people of excellence. Because the Bible says the people you hang around is exactly the kind of person you're going to be. Now, that's Greg's paraphrase, but it's over there in Proverbs if you want to go read it. So we need to have excellent friends. Your friends are either lifting you up or they're pulling you down. And if they're not lifting you up, then they are pulling you down, and you need different friends. You need to pursue friends that are excellent. And we also need to use our time wisely as people of excellence. And we all waste a lot of time. And we do it without really thinking about it. If you remember the other day, I talked to our young people about if they would study just 15 minutes a day. And I added all that up, it came up to 91 hours a year. Well, folks, on the other side of that coin, if we waste just 15 minutes a day, we've wasted 91 hours a year. Over two full weeks of work, if you work 40 hours a week, that we've wasted. Can you imagine going to your job and just sitting there and say, well, I'm going to waste over 2 weeks. I'm going to sit here and do nothing for 2 weeks. That's exactly what we're doing when we waste time. And people of excellence don't do that. Now, yes, you do need ever so often to kick back and relax. That's not wasted time. That's called getting refreshed and restored and renewed. Wasted time is the things that we do that does nothing for us, nothing for the church, nothing for the family, nothing for anybody. It's just wasted time. Now, one of my pet peeves is when people just do things half-heartedly. I get all over myself when I do something half-heartedly. And yes, I'm human just like everybody else. There are times that I don't do things like I should. I chew myself up one side and down the other, and I just wallow me around, and then I spit me out because that is not who I am. And hopefully is not who you are. I got to thinking back when I was growing up, my mom had this thing that just drove me crazy. I would go in and I'd make my bed, and she had to come inspect it. Anybody else ever? Well, don't raise your hands. That might, when I finish here, you might be a little embarrassed. Well, most of the time, for a long time, Mom would say, we've got to redo it. And I can remember saying, Mom, we're not going to be here all day. It's good enough. Nobody's going to be here. Nobody's going to see it. I still had to remake the bed, and it drove me crazy. And for years, I never did understand why Mom was such a sticker on a well-made bed. Then it dawned on me one day, it wasn't about the bed. She wanted me to have enough pride in myself that I would do it and do it right. She wanted me to learn how to do things, even the small things, right, and to do them right the very first time and to do them well. Zig Ziglar, who's a Christian motivational speaker, says if you can get your kids to make their bed first thing in the morning and they get it done right, it will boost their self-image, it will boost their self-esteem, and they will do better in school. It's a proven fact. Because they got up there in the morning and said, I can do something and I can do it well, and they feel good about themselves, so they go off to school feeling good about themselves. So even in something small, we need to do it as unto the Lord. In cleaning our houses, we need to do it with excellence. And folks, we've already said that we have to do this as unto the Lord. Well, let me tell you why we have to do it as unto the Lord. How clean would your house be if you knew Jesus was actually going to show up at your doorstep this morning? How well would that bed be made if you knew that he was going to be the one sleeping in that bed tonight? That's as unto the Lord. We need to act like he is going to be the one that's sitting at our table. That he's going to be the one that's sleeping in that bed. Because no matter who we're doing it to or for, we're doing it as unto the Lord. And that's why it needs to be in excellence. In excellence. I know when Diane and I have people come to spend the night with us, we go through the house and double check. Make sure that everything's cleaned up, picked up, tidy. She always asks me, did you change the bed? And a few times I've not been able to remember if I changed the bed or not, so I rechange the bed to make sure that it's right for the company. Folks, that is as unto the Lord. Whether it's making the bed, cleaning the house, studying for school, singing a song in church, teaching the class, whatever we do, we need to do it as unto the Lord. We need to be a church that's known for excellence. We need to be individuals that are known as people of excellence. We serve a God that is excellent. In the beginning, when he created everything, every time he created something, he stepped back and he said, it is very good. We need to be able to step back and say, it is very good. And we need to start in the small things. And let me just share this with you. while ago when I was talking about the house, I saw some elbows and some talking, and I kind of hit a nerve there. You already know right now if your bed's made or not. And you know if it's done right. Well, most of you do. I just got to remembering Diana was still in bed when I, well, no, she was up just barely when I left this morning. So I don't know if mine is or not. If it's not, she can tell you, I will go home and I will, I've gone home many a day and remade the bed in the middle of the day. Because it's not about the bed, it's about me. But if you know your bed's not made or not made right, go home and remake the bed. So that's ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. It's as unto the Lord. It has nothing really to do with the bed at all. It has to do with who you're serving. It has to do with the way you need to see yourself as a servant of the Most High God. In fact, beyond that, even a child of the Most High God. That's why we need to do these things with excellency. And being excellent has a whole lot of benefits. As I was studying for this message, I got to remembering the different jobs that Diana has had and does have that she never even applied for. They called because they knew of her reputation of being excellent and said, we want you to come work for us because we have heard of your reputation of how you do things. Folks, that's a great reputation to have, isn't it? And yeah, I'm kind of bragging on Diana, but she is a person of excellence. We all need to be. She needs to learn how to make a bed, but other than that, we've got it made. I'm working on that one. There's some days I do have to go in and, well, that's another story again. But in her job, she is excellent. Then I had a lawyer one time that I asked to do just a very simple note and mortgage. A very simple, nothing complicated whatsoever. I made 4 trips back to him trying to get it right. And finally gave up and had somebody else redo it completely. You think I'm going to go back to that guy with anything that's really big? No. You couldn't drag me to that guy. Because he's not a man of excellence. We need to be people of excellence. Like I said, we serve a God that is excellent. Everything he's ever done is excellent. Everything he's ever done. Every single thing is excellent. Now let me share one last point with you. And I actually started to start with this point, but God led me to leave it to the end. God not only wants us to be excellent people, he requires excellence out of us. I want you to think back in the Old Testament. God told the people to bring him sacrifices that were what? Unblemished. What's unblemished? That's excellent. That is the very best that they had. And if they brought blemished sacrifices, he was not happy. He was not satisfied. He was not pleased with them whatsoever. Well, guess what? God still wants unblemished sacrifices. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says that we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. We are to be people of excellence, unblemished, to be the very best that we can be and offer ourselves to him where he can be proud to receive our sacrifice. So what I'm challenging you to do today is to make a decision that you're going to be a person of excellence. You're going to have to decide before you'll ever do it. But the exciting part is if we all decide that we're going to pursue excellence individually, then we will automatically become a church of excellence. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be. That I want to be something that God is so pleased with. And that people are drawn and attracted to us because of our excellent attitude and the excellent way we do things. And because God is here among us. And they can see a difference in us. Everything we do, every little thing we do. We need to do it as unto the Lord, to the most excellent way that we possibly can. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you. And I thank you, Father, that you know nothing but excellence. You have created an excellent universe, an excellent world. Father, even all of us are created in your image, and we are excellent. We are wonderful. We are your masterpieces. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to see this morning that you expect and require us to live lives that are excellent. That everything we do, whatsoever we do, we need to do it heartily unto you with excellence, and not as we're doing it unto men, but as we're doing it unto you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.